The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
He's been here.
High fly ball into right field. She is gone.
He's been there.
Magic down the middle, just what I thought. A hook shot at 12. Good!
He's been everywhere.
Shot from there and a save and a rebound. Yes! Score! Yes! Kings win the cup.
Sobel.
It's one small step for man.
Ted Sobel.
One giant leap for man.
The man, the myth, the legend.
What the hell's going on out here?
Now, one-on-one with Ted Sobel.
Fields sent on their way in the Breeders' Cup Classic to the roar of the Santa Anita crowd.
And thanks for joining us for another Touching Greatness podcast here on the Believe Podcast Network. We're looking forward to the Breeders' Cup this weekend, the 36th annual. It's been an unbelievable run for the greatest racehorses on the planet. Also, the 10th anniversary of maybe the best classic ever in the Breeders' Cup when Zenyatta came from dead last to win it out at Santa Anita, and they're back at the great race place again over the weekend for Friday and Saturday races. And of course, the Breeders' Cup is 14 races with purses of at least $1 million per, culminating with the $6 million Breeders' Cup Classic. But there's also a lot of controversy about the game of horse racing right now, specifically out at Santa Anita in Arcadia, California. And I went right to the source, the president and CEO of the Breeders' Cup, Craig Fravel, who is a former president of Del Mar Racetrack and soon to be CEO of racing operations for the Stronach Group that owns Santa Anita. So Craig's been around the game for many, many years, has a chance to come back to Southern California, and I had a chance to meet him on Wednesday afternoon before they had a big news conference talking about many of the veterinarians and people taking care of the racetrack and trying to make it as safe as possible for the horses, for the jockeys, and for everyone concerned. After 36 more horses have perished out at Santa Anita since the start of the December meeting. Following Craig, I'll be talking to longtime thoroughbred trainer Doug O'Neill, who's won over 2,000 career races, including 5 in the Breeders' Cup. And of course, he took the 2012 Kentucky Derby in Preakness with I'll Have Another and the 2016 Derby with his champion Nyquist. So let's get right to the Breeders' Cup president and CEO, Craig Fravel, get to know a little bit about him and what his expectations are for the future of the Breeders' Cup and racing in general.
Congratulations on your new job.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
So you've been based out here in the past a lot?
It's very complicated. Right. I was at Del Mar for 21 years. When I was offered the Breeders' Cup job in 2011, my family and I moved back to Lexington, where we're headquartered.
Okay.
And I think the following two winters, they had something called a polar vortex in the Midwest. And my wife said, if you think I'm sitting here in Lexington while you travel around the world going to horse races, suffering through polar vortexes, you can forget it. I'm heading back to California.
I got you.
And you can commute back and forth. So
it's up to you if you want to join her.
Last 3 years, I've been commuting back and forth between Lexington and Del Mar.
Okay. I've had a couple of very long discussions about all of this that went on today and for the last several months out here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It is totally about the word perception. You mm-hmm. just used it. I've been following horse racing and covering it for 40 years. The perception is never like this. A lot of it is politics. How does the game get over the perception part from a marketing standpoint, from a transparency standpoint? What is your strong feeling?
Well, first of all, I think we're incredibly transparent. I mean, these things happen in the bright light of day. In California in particular, which has, you know, suffered the glare of publicity, it's been the most transparent jurisdiction in terms of injury management and injury disclosure of any state in the country, and in terms of adopting progressive safety measures over the years. I've been part of many of them. So I don't think we have anything to apologize for in the transparency world. What we do need to do is be open-minded to change and look for ways that we can actively put horses at less risk. And I think I firmly believe that the industry is committed to that. We're going to have to convince, I think, the political world that we're committed to that. And I think the media world will begin to understand that argument as we make it more clear, more pervasive, and more articulate.
Okay, the key thing is, what are the examples, a couple, of less risk? What does that mean? Because they got to go out and run, they got to go out and train, they got to do whatever they do.
Well, I think first of all, there's a tremendous amount of work underway to analyze databases that we have on injury, as well as not just catastrophic injury, but any forms of injury, correlate those with track conditions, weather conditions, although it's much more detail than sort of epidemiology of injury management, we have epidemiologists working for the industry to help identify at-risk horses, subject them then to hands-on examination and some of this diagnostic work that was discussed in terms of imaging. So we've made progress, but I think over the next 5 years we'll continue to make much more progress. Some of these modalities that will be here at Santa Anita within the next year will be a giant step forward in equine healthcare and management.
So what would you say to the average person out there, not the strong racing fan, but thinking, well, I don't know if I want to go out there. I'm hearing all this negative news. What has the industry learned in the last year from what's happened out
there? Well, I think the industry as a whole, there have been many of us who, I've been working on safety-related things within the broader industry for the entirety of my career. It's just something I care about and have an intellectual interest in it. But I think we need to take remedial action and make sure that that's widespread, not just limited to Santa Anita or Del Mar, but also tracks around the country. We need to make sure that the public understands how much we really do care. And when we have bad actors, we need to get rid of them.
Yeah, but the problem is the politics, again, like the PETAs of the world, right? They're out there saying, every time this happens, there you go is another example. So what do you say to the average person saying, we're doing the best we can, and that's part of the game. We don't want to hurt a jockey either.
We don't want to hurt anyone.
Exactly.
So I think people need to understand,
exactly.
First of all, and it's trite to say that people love these animals, but that is, the care and attention that goes into putting this product on is extraordinary. The other thing is, in terms of activists, I'm sure they're well-meaning, and we've given them opportunities to be critical because, sometimes we haven't lived up to our own expectations. But the fact of the matter is that with many of those folks, there's nothing we could do to satisfy them. Some of them have said our goal is to extinguish, horses as companion animals. And I don't know about you, but I have a Labrador Retriever who I would never want to relinquish. And
sure.
I think, once you start taking away horses from people, the next thing is their cats and their dogs.
Yep.
And, I don't think that society wants to really go down that slippery slope. They want us to be responsible. They want us to be accountable. And they want to know that we care. And I think we're doing that.
Last thing, amongst almost everybody I talk to, jockeys, trainers, media too, they almost all said, why don't we just move this year to Del Mar? And just from a perception standpoint, if anything happens, it's going to look twice as bad if it happens here than if it does at another track. I'm sure you guys talked about this, right?
Well, we talked about alternatives, but like I said, they did all the right things in our view. And, we just didn't think it was the right thing to do to turn our backs. I think the best argument we can make for this industry is to put on a great championship and do it well. So we're going to do everything we can to do that.
Can't wait for it. Appreciate the time, man.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Breeders' Cup President and CEO Craig Fravel. And now it's time to talk to Doug O'Neill, the longtime trainer here in Southern California. Over 2,000 wins, and this is a huge weekend for all of us, Doug.
Ed.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How you doing, bud?
Great. I appreciate you taking some time.
Oh, Thanks for having me. No worries.
Especially the night before.
Yeah.
We're going to have some fun tomorrow, huh?
I agree. The next couple of days are going to be a ride. It's going to be great racing and great results and good times had by all.
Okay, well, let's get right into this, Doug. We've got counter protests going on, or should we just call them rallies, on the part of the racing game. And Doug O'Neill, I'm telling you, I was at the track yesterday. Some guys are telling me you should get an Eclipse Award just for how you're trying to help out your game. It's really impressive. Talk about what you're trying to do to be active.
Well, thank you, Ted. I'm a real small part of a group of us that have just, you know, kind of got tired of, you know, just feeling a little depressed about our sport that we love, that we chose to work alongside horses for a living. And so just after kind of taking some beatings in the media that didn't make any sense, and we started these Saturday, celebrations, if you will, down at Del Mar, and they've just been kind of growing. And it's just, to me, you can just see the pride and people being proud again of what we do. And a lot of the hardworking people, the hot walkers, the grooms, the exercise riders, the trainers, the owners that are there, finally kind of have a voice. So it's been a real blast to be part of it, and hopefully it continues.
I'm wondering if the jockeys themselves are getting involved in this.
They are, yeah. We've had a lot of jockeys come out, and it really, I think it was months of a lot of us, whether it be jockeys, trainers, whoever, that didn't know really where to vent our frustration. And, you kept hearing about these executive meetings going on here and this and that. It's like, what is going on? So I'd be remiss too if I didn't mention a gentleman named Oscar De La Torre that I befriended early in the year, and Oscar's been a huge help at leading a lot of these celebrations and just trying to get a lot of the hardworking, silent people their voice out front. So Oscar's been great, and but the jockeys have been involved, and that's been great because a lot of people know their faces, and they're getting to know them, they're getting to know their personalities more, and they're getting to realize that this amazing sport involves an amazing equine athlete, but also a human athlete that, work alongside and they exercise together with the end goal of competing and trying to be best in whatever category they're competing in. So, yeah, there's a lot of things that, I'm proud of being a small part of getting the word out.
This weekend is obviously very, very important, and I'm looking at just the Breeders' Cup themselves. I talked to the president and CEO, Craig Fravell, yesterday. I'm wondering, from a trainer standpoint, are you surprised that they kept it at Santa Anita and didn't move it, just from a public perception standpoint?
Yes, I am, and I'm so grateful that they chose to keep it here. I think it would have been a huge cut shot to California Racing if they would have done that. So, I think the Mother Nature just really, really was tough on Southern California, and racing was no different. I mean, we definitely took some blows there, and there were some accidental fatalities that were well talked about. So, I really hand it to Craig Fravell and the rest of the Breeders' Cup board for coming out. They did their due diligence. They did a lot of homework and investigative work to realize that, there was no intentional amateur stuff going on. It was just, just a lot of heavy rains and maybe a few decisions that led to some accidental fatalities, but glad they stuck with us, and I think because of that, I think we're all going to be really happy. We're going to have a couple great days of racing here.
How content are you with the changes of the safety, whatever they're trying to do around there, from every standpoint, and what else would you like to see happen that hasn't happened yet?
You know, I Well, I'll just speak for myself. I definitely support the reforms that have taken place since March, April, whenever they kind of got put into place. Probably stuff that should have been put in place years ago, but that's for another debate. But I think you don't get into this business and put the amount of time and passion that you do unless you love what you do, unless you love your horses, and that's an obvious thing. But I think having more veterinarians and more eyes, and it just gives you more safety net just in case the connections of a particular horse miss something. So I think it's a great thing, and you're seeing amazing results of it. Definitely the accidental fatalities have gone way down, and so I think it's going to start growing and building, and we just got to continue to market the beauty of the sport and the human element of the sport as well.
Deaths on the main track, training track, it's hard to put like a common thread through all of this, and there probably isn't one. What would you do if you're the commissioner of racing, and is a synthetic surface the best answer in your mind?
Well, what I would love to see, if I was the commissioner of Santa Anita, and I had real deep pockets, but I'd love to see him, because the facility is such that you could do this, is put a synthetic track on the training track, put the current dirt surface where the turf is, and put the turf where the dirt is. So now you have three different surfaces. We don't get a ton of rain, but when we do, as we know, who live out here, it can come down in buckets. Yeah. If that were the case, we could move the training and the racing to the synthetic. The synthetic thrives in rainy conditions, but 95% of the time here, it's 80 and sunny, right? And that's where the synthetic can be a little bit challenged. So, in an ideal world, if you had all three surfaces, it would be amazing. And I think that's a possibility out here. But, and I think, again, just aside from the surfaces, just talking about the human element and the human cost of talking about banning racing. I think there just needs to be more education of what goes on. And I would love to see other horsemen from other horse sports come together, in numbers. I think there's so many people that that are privileged enough to work alongside horses for a living, and all of us to get together and just really from a act of love try to educate the human connection that goes on here.
Yeah, it's all about education now, but now it's so political with the animal rights groups we already know about, and the governor is involved here. He was upset with the Justify, the failing of the drug test after the Santa Anita Derby, and how that was hidden, and it doesn't look good. It doesn't look transparent. This is something that the game has to stop and has to be as open as possible, don't you think?
100%. And I think we've already seen there's been a few changes in the California Horse Racing Board Committee, and probably needs to be a few more. So, yeah, I think there was some conflict of interest questions going on there. But I think those type of investigations really can help our sport, because the more you can, like you say, be transparent, the better it is for everybody. So, I think there's a lot of good things ahead of us. I really do.
How do you see the culture changing, if at all, on the backside and throughout the entire track?
I think the morale has really has definitely shifted towards everyone having their chests out and being proud that they're chose to work with horses for a living. So I see a big shift in my mind, and we've got thanks to the help of a couple huge donors and Fanita and the Strana Group put a lot of money in as well. But we've got a couple new just state of the art diagnostic machines coming in, a PET scan and an MRI unit, which are going to be amazing at detecting you know, pre-fracture. So stuff, right. You could see an absolute clean x-ray, but if a horse just isn't moving right and they're communicating to you that you're just not right, one of these two machines can pick up stuff that can eliminate accidental fatality. So I think that is just super exciting. And I really feel like obviously we need a huge Breeders' Cup, and my gut says it's going to be a really great, safe event. We've had vets all over the place just going over every horse multiple times. So it's just, I just feel really good about it. And I think once the Breeders' Cup comes and goes and everything goes well, I think the foundation will be there to just continue to grow on that and keep getting better and better.
Yeah, the main thing is everything goes well. How would you rate the anxiety level, though, around there? And I'm hearing over and over the same word, we're holding our breath. I mean, it's like, wow.
Yeah, you know, I think the people that are getting their hands dirty and knee-deep in it feel really good about the way things are going. But I could see if you were wearing a suit and tie and up on the third floor and just, yeah, you know, it's like being on a plane that you have no communication with the cockpit. You're just hoping you land. But I think the people in the trenches, you know, we feel really good that things are going to go well, just the way things have been monitored and you know, the knock on wood, the track's been in great shape. Mother Nature, with those winds coming, I was like, oh no, but knock on wood, it's calmed down and looks like we're in for our normal, beautiful Southern California weather. So I think from the people in the barn area, the anxiety has gone way down, but I could see where the executives are probably, they're going to be high anxiety until Saturday evening.
And just the quality of racing, Doug, it's the 36th Breeders' Cup. I was at the first one at Hollywood Park. I can't believe it's the 10th anniversary of Zenyatta's unbelievable run, maybe the greatest ever. I mean, all of that comes into play here. This is our backyard. It's where it should be.
It really should. Now, I'll tell you, it's such a, God, it's like a boost of caffeine when you walk through the barn area and walk through the grandstand and you see men and horsemen and horsewomen from all over the world. It's like, whoa, it's really that shared experience and a shared love of horse racing, you know, how it just touches a huge span of people. So, you know, LA has so much to offer with, you know, I was talking to a few people from England the other day and they're staying in Pasadena and they just love that area and they went to dinner in Hollywood and got to see a lot of the cool history of Hollywood. So, yeah, there's so much to offer here aside from horse racing for a lot of the horsemen that don't maybe get to see all that cool stuff. It's fun to feel like that's part of our gifts that we can share when they come out for the Breeders' Cup.
I always like to be a sociable, but we need to tell those people, please don't ever move here. It's crowded enough.
Yeah, exactly. It's only good for a couple of days. You got to keep moving.
Enjoy your trip and get the heck out of here, please.
Exactly.
As far as the quality of racing itself this weekend, how do you see this as opposed to other Breeders' Cup? And how many horses do you have going?
Well, I think it's another amazing year. I mean, you've got all kinds of championships that are at stake. Just about in every category, you know, the winner's going to be one of the finalists for Eclipse Awards. So that being said, there's a ton of amazing competitive races at top level. And we've got a total of five that are
nice,
scheduled to run. Yeah, so we've got we're well represented. And again, each one of these races, they're so deep with talent that a lot of it is they're jockey races. So, you know, once that gate opens, the jock and horse have so many split-second decisions all throughout the race. So just got to get lucky that, holes open up that need to open up and the pace sets up the way your horse might need the pace to set up. So just amazing to watch these horses and jockeys navigate against the best, you know, around the world.
You have one or two Doug O'Neill tips? I promise not to tell anybody.
Well, you know, we've got two fillies in the same race tomorrow. In the seventh race, a filly named Lazy Daisy. She's anything but lazy. and a Philly named Tom Uppel. And so I think those two Phillies, we've got a bunch running tomorrow on the undercard stuff, but I'm so excited to watch Tom Uppel and Lazy Daisy tomorrow. It's a 9-horse field, $2 million first, going two turns on the main track there at Santa Anita. Bob Baffert going to have a heavy favorite there that our Philly Comical almost beat last time out, so hoping to turn the tables on her. So I think Comical and Lazy Daisy are my two liveliest ones tomorrow.
And you got one right out the bat there, too, like in the opening race, don't you? Is that four left?
Well, you know, he's on the also eligible list. So
oh, okay.
A couple of defections for him to get in. But we've got one on the undercard in race two, a filly named Ann Eddie Surprise. And
right.
She's breaking from a 10-hole. It's an $80,000 allowance race, undercard race. But the mile on turf, she's breaking from the 10-hole. And she is 11 out of 13, 1, 2, 3 in turf races. So she's always right there. And you know, things go her way, she could easily win the second race, Ann Eddie Surprise.
You have an overall thought on the Classic itself?
Oof, you know, I don't have a super strong opinion, but I think I'm going to pull for the female in there, Bill Moss. She's okay. It's cool to see, you know, a filly or mare compete against the best males. And, you know, I think I've seen her on the track. She's a beautiful-looking mare, and I give her a big chance to get it done there on Saturday.
That's great. Well, on the 10th anniversary of Zenyatta, why not, right?
There we go. It would all make sense.
Sounds great. Well, Doug, I really appreciate the time. I'm going to be holding my breath. I don't know about you. I want it to go so perfect. I really do.
I can't wait to. Well, hopefully we'll toast Saturday evening or Sunday or the next time I see you that everything went perfect.
It sounds great. Again, all the best, man, and good racing luck this weekend.
You too. Thanks a lot, guys. Take care.
That's Thoroughbred trainer Doug O'Neill, who's got a lot on the line tomorrow, not just his own horses, but just the Breeders' Cup in general. Everybody crossing their fingers and trying to hope everything goes just the way they want it to be, as safe as possible for the horses, for the jockeys, and just make it a great competition. That's all we ask for at Santa Anita. I also want to thank the president and CEO of the Breeders' Cup, Craig Fravel, for joining us. Until next time, thanks very much for listening to another version of Touching Greatness here on the Believe Podcast Network. And I am still Ted Sobel. We'll talk to you next time.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.